Now we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting here today with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy. City Commission meets tonight, 7 o'clock, for their legislative agenda. I do see the phone blinking over there. We'll see if someone has a question or comment here. Again, City Commission meets at 7 p.m. via Zoom tonight. You can also view that at cityofmhk.com/TV. Here is a caller. Go ahead. Good morning.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Sure can.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. One is, it's sure sad what we found out yesterday after such a great speech by our director down at the demonstration in Aggieville. The second thing is, we're talking about race and such. What is the ratio? I think there's approximately 100. Mayor, you're on the law board. Approximately 100 sworn policemen. What ratio that is of color or from another nation? Same thing with the city. I think it's probably 250 employees. And then take another look, and you probably know this, how many people in management of both of those organizations are minorities or of color or from another nation? I'll just hang up and listen, and y'all are doing a great job. We're under a lot of pressure. Let's keep our head up and keep going forward.
All right. Thank you for the call. And I might clarify, actually, Mayor Reddy doesn't sit on the law board. It's Linda Morris and Wynn Butler from the City Commission. But Mayor, did you want to address that?
Yeah, sure. I will address it. I don't know the percentage for RCPD or for the city as far as what percentage are minorities. I do know that for law board, Dee Stoney, a K-State professor, also works in the athletics department. I appointed her to that, and then I was there. I was also on law board at one point. And for the city, I don't know, like I said, what the percentage is. But I think I'm a minority myself and a person of color, and I am on both of those. And on advisory board, certainly, like I said earlier, I try to, pick people from diverse populations with different life experiences to put on those boards. But I'm not sure as far as administration and both of those agencies that the caller just mentioned. And that's a place where we still need to improve as well. I will let Ron answer that one.
Yeah, and I don't have those percentages memorized either. From an organizational standpoint, I think we are close to being reflective of the percentages of the community. But as pointed out, our administrative roles in the upper administration certainly could utilize additional minorities, and that's certainly something we've been emphasizing in some of our recruitments, which are stalled right now. But having underrepresented either sex or race in our organization is important to us, and we will certainly work towards that as part of our recruitment effort.
Yeah, and I think it's probably good to note, not only is it great for a diverse workforce, but also making sure that they have opportunities for leadership roles within departments like that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to move on here and discuss what's on the agenda here tonight for the City Commission. We're going to start with the general agenda tonight, and item A involves the Manhattan Town Center and rent payments impacted by COVID-19. Ron, take it away.
Sure. This is, something that probably isn't widely known by a lot of folks in the community that are not aware that through our original downtown redevelopment project in the 80s, when the mall was first constructed, the city actually, with some federal financial assistance, so purchased land and owns the land on which the mall sits. So the mall building itself, as well as the parking lot. And we have a long-term lease we've had various mall owners over time, for that. And there's a land lease payment of $185,000 a year that's paid to the city. As part of that lease, there are some provisions, a term called force majeure, which really is a term, a legal term that looks at whether or not they can perform their obligations under a contract when we've had a significant event. And a pandemic was that certainly not foreseen. You know, they were forced to close by order of the government. So it's not something that they control through their negotiations with the tenants and that sort of thing. So it's an unforeseen event. It is covered in the lease with the mall, and they're asking for their last two rent payments. They've made their first two this year, and so that each quarterly rent payment is about $46,250, and they are asking for relief from that through the end of the year. They reported as of mid-May that they've only received about 14% of tenant rents. You might recall that we last year approved a community improvement district for the mall where we're collecting additional sales tax there for them to do renovations to the public spaces within the mall. They've done about $5 million worth of improvements today. That's all been on their nickel. They have to spend the money, and then they get reimbursed as those proceeds appear. And so, obviously, with the interruption in sales tax, a lot of that has been and will be impacted for the future. So we are, just as we suspended some rent at the airport terminal where we have tenants, the rental car agencies, restaurants, the airline itself, we're recommending to suspend this rent with the mall ownership as well.
And so that would essentially then, if it's approved, forgive them for two quarterly payments?
Correct.
Okay. That's a yeah. lot. That's a big hit to the budget there, I imagine.
Yeah, it definitely, it all has an impact. And as I think you're aware, we're identifying shortfalls for this year of anywhere to $4 to $8 million. Certainly, we rely on a lot of the sales tax that the mall produces as well, which certainly has been impacted also.
Mayor Reddy, do you have something?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, there's a difference between this one and the airport in the sense that I believe the airport rentals are getting paid by the federal funds that were allotted to airports. As far as the mall, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. You know, it's one of those areas, like you said, it does have a financial budget impact, but we also don't know what's going to happen to AMC theaters. I don't know, you know, how strong JCPenney is going to be for the next few years as they're shutting down in some of the other states, in some other cities, in fact. So I think, like I said, it's going to be an interesting discussion as far as the abatement of rent for the next at least the two payments. You know, this is a predicament not only in the mall, but a lot of businesses are in, as well as residential property owners, students. So a lot of people are in the same situation. And I think, it, like I said, it's going to be an interesting dialogue this evening. But I certainly understand the circumstance they're in. And we're not going to see anything, I think, as far as taxes, sales taxes, gaining not till the end of this year. We're not done with the pandemic. So people are still not spending money and going out about their daily life, even though they have permission to do so. That's probably not happening across the board. So, like I said, it'll be a good discussion. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we have a caller with a question or a comment here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, thank you for being here this morning. You know, with our forgiving the rent and things, probably losing JCPenney's, ultimately the old style brick and mortar retail is going away. And when you realize it, it'd be a good opportunity to move the library over there to the mall so we could have a new clientele and have adequate parking. And the police are always looking for a place to use. They could set up there in the old library and have parking for their police cars and also be right between the municipal court and the county and district court. Thank you so much for your consideration.
All right. Thank you for that call. And I don't think anyone's clamoring for the mall to shut down here. This is just kind of to help. You know, they're obviously in a dire financial situation right now, and that's the discussion here today. But it does kind of bring
definitely
up...
Definitely not. We need all the brick-and-mortar and sales that we can get. You know, and the mall is certainly has been focused on making improvements to make them stronger. And it's not like the facility's been boarded up and vacant for 2 years.
Yeah. And you know, there's towns across the country. I know malls are struggling in a lot of small towns across the country here, but this mall actually does pretty decent when it's not in a pandemic, it seems to me, but it does kind of present quite a challenge of how they will recover from this.
Yeah, I think brick and mortars in general will be very challenged through this process, and so I was somewhat heartened by the state compensating youth sales tax collection, so their online sales collection where the legislation that was passed and the administrative requirements put in place for all online businesses to remit sales tax, which there was a loophole there before for several that were not.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are you guys collecting sales tax now here locally from online sales?
Yes, we are starting to. We started to receive those last year, actually, when the Secretary of Revenue put that provision in place last fall. And it's been growing ever so much. But there were, even with that ruling, the legislature this past session administration put an additional fix in for example, as I understand it, some of the major online platforms also represent other companies. And those other companies that were they were facilitating the sales for weren't being required to charge that sales tax, and they now are. So, again, it's trying to create a level playing field for all business.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Manhattan City officials. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.